Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shaya Omishapad, Paramahamsa, Paribhrita Kacharya, Sotara Sarasi, Simadis, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Namcharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Giradhar Shiva, Sri Gaura Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shankun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Devi Ki Jai, Yamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi, Gaura Premanandi, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Sato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Praeshu Avadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 19. Nishidhyamana sa sadasya mukhyair Nishidhyamana sa sadasya mukhyair Daksho giritraya visrijya shapam Daksho giritraya visrijya shapam Tasmad dnishkramya vivriddha manyur Tasmad dnishkramya vivriddha manyur Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam. Nishidhyamana sa sadasya mukhyair Daksho giritraya visrijya shapam Tasmad viniskramya vivriddha manyur Jagama koravya nijam niketanam Nishidhyamana sasidasya mukhyair Daksho giritraya visrijya shapam Tasmad vinishkramya vivriddha manyur Jagama koravya nijam niketanam Nishidhyamana sa sadasya mukhyair Daksho giritraya visrijya shapam Tasmad vinishkramya vivriddha manyur Jigama Koravya Nijang Niketanam. Yeah.
Being requested not to. Saha, he, Daksha, Sadasya Mukhyai, by the members of the sacrifice. Dakshaha, Daksha, Giritraya, to Lord Shiva. Visrijya, giving. Shapam, a curse. Tasmat, from that place. Vinishkramya, going out. Vivriddhamanyu, being exceedingly angry. Jagama, went. Koravya, Ovidura, Nijam, to his own, Niketanam, home. Translation.
by His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, in spite of the requests of all the members of the sacrificial assembly, Daksha, in great anger, cursed Lord Shiva and then left the assembly and went back to his home." Purport. Anger is so detrimental that even a great personality like Daksha, out of anger, left the arena where Brahma was presiding and all the great sages and pious and saintly persons were assembled. All of them requested him not to leave, but infuriated, he left, thinking that the auspicious place was not fit for him. Puffed up by his exalted position, he thought that no one was greater than he in argument. It appears that all the members of the assembly, including Lord Brahma, requested him not to be angry and leave their company. But in spite of all these requests, he left. That is the effect of cruel anger. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is advised that one who desires to make tangible advancement in spiritual consciousness must avoid three things: lust, anger, and the mode of passion. Actually, we can see that lust, anger, and passion make a man crazy, even though he be as great as Daksha. The very name Daksha suggests that he was expert in all material activities. But still, because of his aversion towards such a saintly person as Lord Shiva, he was attacked by these three enemies: anger, lust, and passion. Lord Chaitanya therefore advised that one be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas. He compared offenses toward a Vaishnava to a mad elephant. As a mad elephant can do anything horrible, so when a person offends a Vaishnava, he can perform any abominable action. Nishidyamanah sasadasya mukhyar daksho giritraya visrija shapam tasma vinishkramya vivriddhamanyur jagama koravya nijam niketanam. Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, in spite of the requests of all the members of the sacrificial assembly, Daksha in great anger cursed Lord Shiva and then left the assembly and went back to his home." Om Agyanati Marangasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Vanchakao Pachirubya Shra Kripa Sandhu Vyeva Chapati Tanam Pavani Vivaishwami Pukhu Parma. Hare Krishna. My name is Batu Gopal. I'm from New Goloka in North Carolina, USA. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj also lived there with us for some time. That was our great good fortune. While he was working on the Srila Prabhupada videos in the editing phase, he stayed there with us for some time. And so that place is always blessed, therefore. And if you have a chance to visit, we would love to welcome you to our small temple and community there. The founder of our community in North Carolina is His Holiness Bir Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who you may know. Perhaps he has also visited here. A very great devotee and preacher, disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, of course. He founded this temple about 25 years ago. And we're worshipping Radha Golokananda there. Very beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna. We have a small community, not a large number of devotees as you have here, but it is very very peaceful and very, very steady, and because of Dear Krishna Maharaj's influence and the leadership of other very stalwart devotees there, it is a place that is very fixed in following Srila Prabhupada's orders. So perhaps one day we'll be able to welcome you there. It's far away from here, of course. I don't know, 9,000 miles maybe, 8,000 miles. Far. We are all also chanting, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, the same mantras, the same morning schedule, the same understanding of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everywhere in the world, devotees are on the same page of Krishna Bhakti because of the work of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and then the great, glorious work of all of his sincere followers. This temple is wonderful, and we've seen pictures. His Holiness Bhakti Chumaraj has come and sometimes shown us slideshows and videos of this temple, but it is to see it in fact is more wonderful. This is a miracle, really. You know, in the Kali Yuga, all energy, practically, of the whole human society is devoted to sense gratification. And if you go to Delhi or Mumbai or Paris or Buenos Aires or Tokyo or New York or Los Angeles, any of these great cities, you'll see huge, gigantic buildings erected for the satisfaction of the senses. When the Kali Yuga, it is hard to gather together some resources, some energy to go against that great tide of Maya. But the greatest of the devotees of the Lord, those with the greatest spiritual energy, are able to do that. So Srila Prabhupada created temples all over the world. And not only created them, but trained devotees and managers and servants of Lord Krishna in all of those places so that the temples would also continue and increase. So that the number of devotees in all parts of the world is gradually increasing. The number of chanters of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In every part of the world, the Sankirtan party is increasing by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and by the devoted energy of his servants, such as His Holiness Bhakti Chumaraj. So, it may be that some of you are also blessed by Krishna with great power to do great things to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. Or it may be, like me, that you only have a little bit of energy. Small amount of talent, small amount of ability. No matter. You know the story of the building of the great bridge by which Lord Ram and his army rescued Sita, right? They constructed a wonderful bridge floating on the ocean to Lanka. And we all know that story of the Vanaras, these giant beings lifting mountaintops and throwing them into the ocean to construct that wonderful causeway. But there were also other small beings there contributing in their own way. That spider, we all know the story, was also kicking some grains of sand. And when Hanuman and the others felt like he was in the way, perhaps he was going to be stepped on, Lord Ram reminded them that this small person is also doing as much according to his own energy, as you are. So big or small, we have to somehow find some way to help great personalities to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada has wonderful disciples, such as Bhakti Chiru Maharaj, His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, who is arriving later today. An important, great soul. Huh? Very dear to Srila Prabhupada and to Lord Chaitanya. Someone who has spread Sankirtan all over, and especially in the area where he is spent most time, Poland, has spread the holy name of Krishna to thousands and millions of people through his festival programs. Perhaps you've seen some of those videos. Wonderful, huge pandal, and thousands of people chanting and dancing to the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And these are not, well, here, of course, outside we have a big sign advertising for your Bhagavad Gita course. And at the top it says, everyone knows Bhagavad Gita. Well, of course, because this is the land of Bharatvarsha. Because everyone here knows Krishna. They may not be followers of Krishna, but everyone knows Bhagavad Gita here. Huh? Krishna's book, his name and fame are spread everywhere. Not in Poland. Huh? These are distant places. Europe and America and Australia and all obscure, remote parts of the world. So the fact that great personalities, great devotees like His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj and other followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada are able to spread Krishna consciousness in all of these unlikely places is Lord Chaitanya's miracle. When Srila Prabhupada came to Atlanta in the United States, they have beautiful deities there of Sri Sri Gornitai. And Srila Prabhupada, when he visited there, he was talking about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have spread this Sankirtan movement even to a remote, distant, hopeless, forgotten place like Atlanta, USA. Far, far, far away from Sridham Mayapur. So, this is the wish of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that temples like this become common everywhere. He, after all, predicted that somehow, without, impossibly, we have to say, it's not possible, but Lord Chaitanya predicted that somehow in every town, in every village even, not just big cities, not just big countries, but even in every small place of the world, people will be chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and taking the name of Sri Sri Gornitai in ecstasy. This is the work of Srila Prabhupada's movement, and it is so wonderful to come here and see how very suddenly, in such a small space of time, such a wonderful resource has sprung up. So then, the challenge is not to be satisfied, oh, we have our temple. We have our ashram and we have our guest house and soon we'll have our apartments. Now everything is settled and now we can live comfortably and eat nicely and chant Hare Krishna and be satisfied. That is not the spirit. That is not the spirit of the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada, you know, was
living comfortably in Vrindavan at the Radha-Damodar temple.
He was happy there.
Huh?
Fully Krishna conscious, surrounded by saintly persons also. Huh? The best association, those Brijbasis all in that super consciousness of Krishna. And yet somehow he undertook this great difficult work, even though he was old and not well. He had two heart attacks on the way to New York City and that ship. Two heart attacks. But he didn't turn around and go home. And people were advising him to go home. You know, he had a round-trip ticket. That lady, the head of the Scindia steamships, she made sure that he had a way to come back because she was doubtful that he would be able to do anything there. This old Swami, what can he do there? So make sure he can at least come back. So he arrived there, two heart attacks later. And he, as he said, he didn't know whether to walk this way off the boat or whether to walk that way off the boat. But somehow, he wanted to achieve something for the pleasure of his spiritual master, his divine grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami. And because of that strong desire, Krishna created all the miracles. Of course, Krishna gives all of the credit to his devotees, just as he gave the credit to Arjuna. Huh? It was not possible for Arjuna to be victorious at Kurukshetra. Who was against him? Bhishma, Drona, great fighters. It was not possible. Sometimes it's described that in that great ocean of Kurukshetra, the Kauravas, the enemy army, they were like the Pimingil fish, the giant whales. And Arjuna and his brothers and their army were like little minnows swimming there. So it was not possible for them to win. But because he had faith in Krishna, because he allowed Krishna to guide his chariot, therefore Krishna did a wonderful miracle there and gave all of the credit to his devotees. So that is Krishna's nature. It is Lord Chaitanya's nature. Just if we try to do some small thing, we try to please our spiritual masters, we try to contribute in some way to spread this Krishna consciousness. Here we have a Krishna conscious property, but a devotee of Lord Chaitanya is always thinking, well, what about up across the street? Next door? What about in that part of the town? One time, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to His Grace, His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj, when Dhanavir Maharaj was in, I think, Portland, Oregon. And Srila Prabhupada wrote a wonderful letter, and he said that the Harinam party, the Sankirtan, the Nam Sankirtan should be heard in every single neighborhood of that city. Not just in the temple, on the temple compound. That's natural. Of course, there should be constant chanting of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna here. But next door also. And in that other neighborhood there. And what about over there? A devotee should always be looking. Here is a place and I don't see any Sankirtan. What can be done about that? Let's bring the, at least bring the Sankirtan party here for chanting and distributing a prasadam. And in this way, gradually, gradually, Lord Chaitanya's movement will spread out from these wonderful centers and will come everywhere. And people will be blessed and they will be happy. They will be surprised that such joy and happiness could come to them, finally, without any cause, or without deserving it in any way. Now, that is the spirit of the Sankirtan. In Detroit, years ago, um,
We had a nice temple. This is Detroit, USA, Detroit, Michigan, home of the motor car once upon a time. We took Hainam party on every street. This was a city of 2 million maybe at that time. And so a very vast city, thousands of streets. So our custom in those days, and Indradumna Maharaj was also part of this work. He was there in Detroit at that time with me when I was there. We took the Harinam party up each and every city, each and every street of that city. And then we carefully marked them on a map, street map of the city, where the Harinam party had gone and where not yet. So the Harinam party would go down the center of the street, and then devotees would be approach every single door, every single house, knock on every single door, and offer them some book about Krishna or some opportunity to hear about Krishna. We covered the entire city that way. It was a wonderful thing. And there are so many stories. If you have a chance, you can ever ask Indradumna Maharaj about all of those miracles that we saw before our eyes while doing that Sankirtan. So this is available. The whole world is available for preaching. So if we have that enthusiasm, then we can see wonderful things that Krishna will do. And he may even try to give us the credit, but we know that we have no credit. It is all the mercy of our spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna. If there's any miracle to be done, it's not me, it's Krishna. If I speak something that someone takes to heart, that is not because I am so fixed up, my power. No, it is Krishna. He is always looking to benefit his parts and parcels, no matter where they are. Which brings us back to Srimad Bhagavatam, finally. This is a horrible incident. It's a terrible incident, but it's very instructive. Daksha is no ordinary person. Sometimes because we are instructed by Srila Prabhupada and we know how to understand this incident, we may feel some negative thoughts towards Daksha. But he is no ordinary person. Don't be mistaken. Srila Prabhupada says that here. His very name indicates that he was a tremendous person, materially speaking. Daksha. Expert. So, the instruction here is how, no matter what a big man you may be, in the hands of the material energy, you are nothing. These great modes of nature, these three gunas, they are controlling every one of us, just like puppets are controlled by the puppet master. You've seen those paintings of the modes of nature manipulating everyone, just like a marionette who's dancing. And as Krishna tells me in Bhagavad Gita, because I'm a rascal, because I'm a materialistic rascal, I think that it is me. I am doing all of this. I think that I am the doer of all of my activities. Look, I'm so clever. I found a way to make money. I found a way to get the money away from him. I found a way to trick him. I found a way to stand on other people's heads till I came to the top of the office. And I'm feeling so clever and so self-satisfied. But in fact, all of these activities that I am taking false credit for are in fact performed by the material nature. And I am doing nothing. I, the soul, I'm inert. I'm dormant. I have no part in all of this material activity. In fact, although the soul, you know, those Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, from the highest planet to the lowest planet, all are places of misery. The living entity is moving in this great samsara, this great wheel of birth and death. It's taking body after body after body in 8,400,000 species of life. But through all of that movement and activity, the soul, I myself, Atma, I'm really doing nothing. I'm passive. I have no activity. And the only time that changes is when somehow by the mercy of Krishna and by the mercy of his devotees, I come into contact with some great saintly person. Then by close contact with that great personality who is full of Krishna, my real life suddenly becomes sparked. And for the first time, I'm up and active. For millions of years, just carried along by the material energy. So, here, the lesson is that daksha, great personality, is overcome by anger. Srila Prabhupada said that anger is so destructive that it can drive a man crazy. We certainly see that in the world. You know, there are so many wars, and tomorrow there will be more wars. Millions of people suffer by these wars, but if you analyze the causes, the political or sociological causes of these wars, it's very surprising, because in fact they are not started by big issues. They're not really started by big issues. They are started by someone feeling offended. I'm a big, big man. I'm the head of my country. And the head of that other country said something insulting to me. Therefore, send out the bombers. Send out the atomic bomb. Launch our missiles. Between India and Pakistan, there have been wars in the past. But the cause of the wars was not a dispute between the ordinary people of India and the ordinary people of Pakistan. It always comes down to some egos, right? Someone became angry. Someone became insulted. And because he has power, therefore everyone has to suffer because of the war. So this is the great power of these forces of nature. Lust, anger, greed. Krishna specifically singles these three out in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says these are the great gateways leading to hell. And a sane man, a sensible, cautious, careful man, tries to avoid them as much as possible. Lust, anger, greed. So here is anger. Lord Shiva is perfect. He is actually an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sada Shiva is coming from Vishnu, but somehow or other he has contact with the material energy. That's not accidental. Don't think that, oh, Lord Shiva accidentally fell into the material energy, poor, Shambhu. No. This is also by design. In that same 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who are of demonic nature, not only do they not avoid lust, anger, and greed, but they embrace them. And there's so much description of the demonic mentality there. Krishna says, I throw them again and again into the demonic, hellish regions of the universe. And it is stated there is hardly any chance for them ever to get out. You can read those verses in the 16th chapter. It's very chilling, very frightening. Because, you know, most of us, or many of us, have some of those demonic tendencies. We are trying to fight against them to become Krishna conscious, but yeah, lust, anger, greed, these things sometimes come up. But Krishna says, I throw them down and there's no chance for them. It's practically hopeless. Prabhupada, in his purports there, at one point he says, how can therefore you say that God is all merciful? If you say God is all merciful, then how can Krishna be saying, I throw them down forever into hell and they're never going to be able to be delivered? It's inconsistent. So Srila Prabhupada explains that, well, no, there is also mercy there. Because sometimes, for some of those demons, they go solo. They become so demoniac that Krishna personally comes and kills them. Kamsa, Ravana, so many demons killed by the Lord, or killed by the Lord through his agents, such as Arjuna at Kurukshetra. They all become delivered. So in that way, even the hopeless demons can have some chance of deliverance. But there's more than that also. Because although Krishna says there's no chance for them, the devotees of Krishna don't say that. The Vaishnavas are more merciful than Krishna. It's surprising, but it's true. They do not tolerate that idea that someone should be lost forever. And therefore, the Vaishnavas are willing to go into any dark hell, whatever, to find some way to deliver those hopeless souls. And of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the greatest. As stated, he is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas, and therefore the most compassionate. So, what is his preaching pastime? He takes charge of the hopeless souls who are sunk in the mode of ignorance. Even those who don't have human body. They may be living among the ghosts and yakshas and bhutas and pretas and all of the other unfortunate types of existence. Far, far away ordinarily from the mode of goodness and from the brahminical life and from the possibility of liberation, Lord Shiva finds them out. And he becomes their leader. It may be hard for us as Vaishnavas to see how Lord Shiva is working in those communities, but we know that he is. And just as Lord Chaitanya, as Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva is always thinking how they can be delivered. Is there some way? He's a rascal, meat eater, drunkard, whatever. But still, there must be some way for him to be finally in the end delivered from that. Therefore, he is considered to be the greatest of the Vaishnavas. How unfortunate, therefore, that Daksha, overcome by anger, insulted Lord Shiva and even cursed him. Daksha thought that his daughter was too good for Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva became his son-in-law by marrying Daksha's daughter. He was thinking, my daughter is more qualified And unfortunately that she has to marry this less qualified person, Shiva, who associates with low-class persons and is not very clean because he has the dust of the crematorium on his body. Daksha's thinking like that. But this is all madness, madness brought about by lust, anger, and greed. So this is a tragic story. It's tragic. And after this, everything breaks loose. Some devotee of Lord Shiva wanting to defend his master, which Prabhupada says is a good and normal thing. If somebody insults your guru, of course you stand up to defend. But Lord Shiva did not want or intend for what happens next. All kinds of violence between people who should know better. Still, because this is Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is all within the realm of the wonderful activities of Lord Krishna and his devotees, we can be sure that in the end, finally, everything will work out well, and everyone will be blessed, including Daksha, whether he deserves it or not. Because this is the book of happy endings. Happy endings. You just begin it. There may be some very dark places, dark days, but you can be sure that things will come right in the end. Why? Because it is Krishna's existence. And Krishna is a reservoir of bliss. Anyone who enters into Krishna's existence will, in the end, become promoted to that same blissful level. We should be confident of that. Some days as devotees are very dark days indeed. You may know, maybe I'll stop on this, you may know the history of Srila Prabhupada's preaching in America, and one of the very important devotees who came forward to help him, his name was Vishnujan Swami. When he took sannyas, Vishnujan Swami Maharaj. He was a wonderful Sankirtan leader. There are some YouTube videos of his kirtans, and you may hear some of his kirtans. But it's hard to capture his impact. Vishnujan Maharaj was wonderful. He was empowered for the Sankirtan. Sometimes he would have two mridangas. He would carry two mridangas. He would be tuned differently, and he would be playing two mridangas like this and dancing. He was effulgent. He was wonderful. But that does not mean that even that wonderful devotee did not have his difficult days. One time, we were all at New Vrindavan in America. And Srila Prabhupada was visiting many devotees. Hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 devotees were there. And Vishnujan Swami was also there with the Radha-Damodar buses. Radha-Damodar are beautiful deities that traveled in these buses all over the United States. Tamal Krishna Goswami and Vishnujan Maharaj were principals of that program. So there we were. We had a big kirtan out in the middle of a forest, and the deity, Damodar deity, was there also sitting on a kind of a table. And Vishnujan Swami then spoke. And he said, you know, there are some days when I wake up in the morning and I don't want to serve Krishna at all. In fact, I want to do anything and everything but serve Krishna. I want to enjoy my senses. I want to do anything. I don't want to serve Krishna at all. So, he said, whenever that happens, I go in front of the deity. Lord Damodar. And I pray to him, my dear Lord Damodar, today I don't want to serve you. I'm sorry. I don't care for your service. I have so many other interests. My mind is disturbed, is distracted. I just do not want to do my duties in your service today. I'm sorry. And I don't want you to change my mind either. Don't do that. But anyway, because you are the Supreme Personality of God, and I am eternally your insignificant servant, I just feel like I have to bring this situation to your attention. Hare Krishna. So this is the... that's always available. Whenever we feel like not serving Krishna, then you have to tell Krishna. He has heard everything. Don't worry. You can't shock him. He's heard everything and seen everything. But we are, now that we have accepted this path of bhakti yoga, this Vaishnava path, and we've taken shelter at the lotus feet of great devotees. Now we are obliged at least to bring our doubts before Krishna, to bring our concerns before Krishna. And at the same time, we should be confident that if we approach Krishna, in the end, happy ending, lives happily ever after, as they say in English. No one who has come to Lord Chaitanya, however momentary that may be, someone has had a moment's association with a great personality, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Shuru Maharaj, Narayana Maharaj, any of the other great devotees, many of them amongst you who are spreading Krishna consciousness all over. No one who has been so blessed to come into the presence of a great devotee will be able to escape this loving net cast by Lord Chaitanya. It's hopeless. When we chant on the street, we have kirtan, so many people are walking past, huh? And some smile and participate, and others make a face and cover their ears. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they are the smiling ones or whether they are the scowling ones. Once they have come past that non-Sankirtan party, they are doomed. Doomed. Their material life is finished. They don't know it. Finished. That is the power of this Sankirtan, of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, if someone opens a box, a lead box, and it contains plutonium, a very dangerous radioactive element, then people from miles around will be affected. They'll be exposed to that. Right? If there's a nuclear incident, I don't know if there are any nuclear power plants nearby here, but in Japan, not long ago, there was they had the tsunami and earthquake, and it's still a horrible situation, radiation everywhere. People become exposed, right? It's a huge event. But we should keep in mind that there is no event that can match or even begin to compare to the event of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what is happening. Wherever and whenever the holy name of Krishna is chanted under the order of the great Vaishnava devotees of Lord Chaitanya, it is the personal appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that neighborhood, on that street, here on this property, or anywhere in the world. And you should have that confidence that because of the Lord's appearance, people, even at a great distance, are being affected. They don't know, but they're being blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, with enthusiasm, with that confidence, we should try to play our part, big or small, doesn't matter. Be the spider kicking the dust, or maybe you're Hanuman. Then, if you're Hanuman, don't be lazy, take the mountain peak, drag it off, and help in that way. You can know, you know your own strength, you know your own talent. If you don't know, then ask someone else. Ask your spiritual master, what am I good for? He'll tell you. And then do something. And we will see miracles. We will see wonderful things that cannot be explained, done by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and all of the devotees of the Lord. Our lives will be happy, and in the end, we'll also, impossible as it may seem, we'll also go back to home, back to Godhead. So, we can learn, therefore, that if Daksha, in the end, also can be saved, then I also can be saved. I should not make trouble. I shouldn't make the process harder by being offensive. Let me avoid offenses to devotees. If I have made an offense, then we know how that has to be corrected. You have to throw yourself at the feet of that devotee and ask for forgiveness and ask for some way to make that better. And if we just keep this in mind and go on trying to do what we can, then our lives will certainly be successful. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Ramananda Rai. Where is this coming from? Ramananda Rai. I don't know if this is the Ramananda Roy Prabhu that I know in Belgium, but if it is, I offer my respectful obeisances. The secret to humble, to remain humble in contact with devotees, practice looking at all of the great qualities of those devotees, and then automatically you will feel less. If you practice finding faults, then you will feel more. That's how we become puffed up. I find fault with you and you and you and you, and then I become puffed up. But if my practice is constantly meditating upon the good qualities of all those around me, then naturally I will feel less by comparison. And that is how I should feel, because I'm insignificant. You know that famous little exchange with Srila Prabhupada. Some devotee, I don't know who or where, but some devotee was saying, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." And Srila Prabhupada said, "You're not the most anything. You are insignificant." So if we practice always meditating on the good qualities, on the sincerity, on the wonderful Krishna conscious service done by our God brothers and God sisters, then automatically we will feel smaller by comparison. And as we feel smaller, then we will be less at risk of making offenses. So, devotee Manohar asks, how come a student... he's talking about studying and student life. Perhaps he's in college or something. It's very difficult, he says, because of the atmosphere of the college, very passionate. One has to work very hard. They worry about grades and exams, and there's also competition. So, yes, difficult. It's difficult to be Krishna conscious in that situation. But Krishna knows the situation better than you. That's important always to remember. I think I understand my own conditioning, but Krishna knows this conditioning in and out better than I ever could. And he knows what is possible for me and what's not possible. The spiritual master, the Vaishnavas also, they know what is possible. And they're always very merciful, making concessions, giving an opportunity for someone to work at his own speed, at his own level. You know the story on 26 Second Avenue in Manhattan. Srila Prabhupada had a very small temple there, a small preaching center. This was the first ISKCON temple in the world. New York, Manhattan, 26 Second Avenue. You can see pictures. Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk there, a lecture, and some homeless man, beggar, homeless man, came in from the street and disrupted the whole lecture. He brought something and put that underneath the table or underneath the counter. It was some paper towels or toilet paper or something. So then he excused himself and went out. So, you see, even someone with no possibilities can find a way to contribute to the Sankirtan movement. It's not useful to think about all the things that you cannot do. And if you think, oh, look, His Holiness Bhakti Sri Maharaj and his helpers have built this big thing, what can I do? Therefore, just become discouraged and go away. No, that's not useful. I have to find out what I can do, not what I cannot do. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what about a person who is blind and deaf and also cannot speak? Dumb. He cannot hear, cannot chant, cannot see. And you know what Srila Prabhupada said. He can bow down. He can bow down. So if you're in college or if you're working or if you're struggling in life or if you're living like a king or you're starving, it doesn't matter your situation. Just try to find something, even a very small thing that you can do to help spread the Sankirtan movement. Because in that effort, there is no small thing. Everything in the service of Lord Chaitanya is significant and will produce wonderful results for you and for everyone that you come into contact with. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. I'm sorry I went over time, but I'm very happy to be here, and I hope that you will all please give your blessings on me and my wife in our old age. We have stories from the old days to tell, but that's not where the real excitement is. Sometimes we like to talk about Srila Prabhupada and his pastimes, and those are all wonderful things to talk about. They fill the heart with joy and love. But the bigger excitement, the greater excitement is what comes next. What will happen tomorrow, not what happened 25 years ago. See? Not what happened 5 years ago. Now this temple is here. Okay, now we have a temple. What is next? What's next? This is not the biggest building in the world. One can easily imagine a greater and more powerful and wonderful thing than this. So let's begin to work, whatever we can do, to bring about those miracles that we will see tomorrow and the next day and next year and 10 years from now and before the end of our lives, what we will see. what we will see. Have that enthusiasm and confidence, and our lives will always be exciting, full of happiness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.